Hello, welcome to Geeking Out. It's our monthly podcast where we explore better living through the joy of hobbies. We're going to talk games, we're going to talk books, cooking, music, movies, whatever we are super excited about, we are going to geek out about. I'm Mandy.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Cyrus.
All right, you guys, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's geek out! Woo! Right. We are so excited to talk this month. It is February, which means Valentine's Day is coming up.
Amor.
Amor. That's actually Spanish and French, but whatever. So our topic this month is going to be couples.
I think it probably translates to Italian, too. I'm not
probably.
There we go.
Yeah. The romantic languages.
Oh, that's amore. Right. Amore. Yeah,
how do you say it in German?
Luft. No, that's air. I have no idea.
All right. Me either. Anyway, we're not talking about languages this month. We're going to talk about two-player games, also known as couples therapy. So we've brought a number of different games that Cyrus and I love to play together. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about those and just kind of give some advice and suggestions. And Tom's coming on again.
Tom is here.
All right.
He was backing up his Subaru. He has a really interesting thing to share with us. First of all, you guys are familiar with the television show Parks and Rec?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In there, one of the later seasons, the gentleman is, I think he's...
Ben.
And he's off work or he lost a job, yeah. Not sure. But he's entertaining himself by making a new game that he calls The Cones of Dunshire, which is really just kind of a wink and a nod to The Settlers of Catan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Tom has created a two-player version of this. He has a prototype. He's in talks with another company to possibly publish it.
Hey, fantastic.
Yep. But he's giving us a first peek, and we're going to take a look at it, and so I'm super excited. So he was unloading all of it. And
that explains all the boxes he was taking out of his car.
It was a lot. I'm looking at it going, how are we going to get all this into the office?
We're gonna make it work. That's Tom's problem.
That Tom actually has his own little two-wheeler kind of
thing. Yeah, he's like a little dolly.
He's got a little dolly out there.
Yeah, he needs it.
Tom,
he needs it.
Man about town.
I know, indeed. Right. Before we get into stuff about Tom and our topic of the month, we are going to do our usual segment of geeking out. So what are the three of us super, super excited about mm-hmm. this month? Has nothing to do with the theme, so I'll go first. A little bit of background on this. A lot of background on this. So I have been a dancer my whole life. That was my sport in high school. I've been dancing since I was about 7 years old. I taught dance for a while in high school. I danced all the way through college, and I do it recreationally now. I love it. I love it. I love it. This past November, I had to have dental surgery. Mm. I had a gum grafting, which I do not recommend. It was not fun, but better than losing my teeth. So that's why I had it done. As part of that, I wasn't able to do strenuous physical activity for about 6 weeks.
Oh. Consequently, it was also a very quiet week. it was phenomenal. It was wonderful.
But then you had a very crabby wife for 6 weeks because I couldn't do strenuous physical activity, which is my
That's not awesome at all. No. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. So after those 6 weeks, I was able to get back into it, and the very best thing I think about being off of those restrictions was getting to go back to what I'm geeking out about this month, which is Lindsay Ness's cardio dance fitness class at the Y on Saturday mornings. So Lindsay, who works here, does an amazing job of really high energy, really great music, fun moves. One of the things I love about dance, high energy, lots of great music, which I really appreciate. And then being able to use my brain to figure out the different steps. So it keeps my brain engaged. It's good for my brain because I'm having to figure out the coordination and getting everything to the right timing and get everything to the music, which is one of the reasons I love dance so much. And so it puts all of that stuff together. Very high cardio, which is I also just all of those amazing endorphins that you get from exercising. I feel so good when I'm done with that class. So she teaches it Mondays and Wednesdays, I think at 4:30, mm-hmm. and then Saturdays, which is a class I go to because I work Mondays and Wednesdays, Saturdays at 8 at the Y. So highly recommend it. I'm geeking out about it. I love it. I feel so good when I'm done with it. That's my thing.
8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., is that what we're talking
about? No, yes, 4:30 p.m. Monday and Wednesday, yep. and then 8 a.m. on 8 a.m. Okay. Saturday.
Right. Talk a bit about the very different ages that are in
there. Oh, yeah. So it's everybody. We have some lots and lots of ages from, I'm almost 45, and I'm probably about middle of the road. So there's people that are younger than me, people that are older than me. Occasionally we'll get a guy, which is really exciting. It's usually women, but that's, I think, going to be the case for any dance-like class. So, but it's great. I love it. It's great. You don't have to have any dance experience. If you just like to move to music, mm-hmm. it's a great way to do it. Nobody cares if you mess up. It's super low judgment, super fun, super exciting. Everybody's really very connected with each other. So just one of my favorite parts of the week.
That's awesome. I can't wait to tell Lindsay that she made the show.
She did, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice. You're 45? You look 32.
Oh, not quite. I have another month and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Happy birthday, almost.
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 March. It'll be March. Right. I turn in March.
Rich, what are you geeking out about?
You know, I have this thing. I am generally, not generally, quite often, I can be the last person, if I'm really enjoying like a trend or something like that, I can be the last person off the bandwagon on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like everyone else in the world hates baseball. I still love baseball. Okay. I'm actually geeking out. You guys are going to laugh at this. About the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Girls and I are working our way through that.
Oh. Yeah.
I've seen it all, but the girls haven't. So the three of us are sitting down to watch it all together.
The good ones and the bad ones.
Yep. Yeah. And I have collected them all. Like, I have seen everything. I've seen all the TV shows. And I've seen all the movies plenty of times.
Yeah.
Minimum of 3 times. Even like the Marvels. Right.
Right.
And we're recording this on the 7th of February. Mm-hmm. It's airing on the, what do we say?
The 17th of February.
In between this is the next Captain America movie coming out.
Yeah, ooh, yeah.
A week from today. It's a week from today.
So on Valentine's Day? It's coming out on Valentine's Day?
On Valentine's Day, yes.
There you go.
And I'm hoping to see it the night before.
Ooh.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe had an arc in the their one big story, and then there were a couple of movies that sort of resolved all that stuff. And then they've been sort of floundering mm-hmm. a little bit mm-hmm. since then. They went one direction, couldn't go that direction anymore because they had an actor that had to be removed. But this next movie, the Captain America movie that comes out, sort of resets a couple of things and gets us moving forward again.
Cool.
And it's Captain America, Anthony Mackie, who mm-hmm. was the Falcon.
The Falcon.
Right, is now Captain America because yep.
Steve Rogers
has retired. I went back and watched the Falcon and the Winter Soldier Netflix show, which actually came out 4 years ago. It's crazy.
It is crazy how long ago that came out. Yeah,
right? I liked it the first time I watched it, right? I loved it. This last time. And I think it was so good. I geeked out on it so hard.
That's awesome.
That I watched the whole thing within about 24 hours, right? And now the movie's coming out, and I'm super, like, let's go. I mean, they've got a full slate of movies coming out this year. They've got this. They've got Thunderbolts coming out in May, and a Fantastic Four, which comes out in July.
Ooh, yeah.
Super excited about that. And that really gets things going. There's some really interesting stuff that they're working on for the next couple of years. So as a comic, the resident comic book nerd.
Yes.
Yep.
I am geeking out about the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Awesome. Oh, very nice. When you say Thunderbolt, do you mean like the old school puppet?
No, I'm like it's a team of sort of rogue. Thunderbolts are DC. The DC universe has a team of bad guys that get sort of co-opted by the American government. And
so this is the DC version of the Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad,
right?
Yes, sort of. I mean, kind of in that sense, but that's what this is.
Poor DC. Cool. It just can't get a break.
Oh, that's awesome.
So dark. I have high hopes for the Superman movie coming out.
Oh, no. My love is going totally towards the new Batman, the way they got with Batman now.
Batman's my guy when it comes to DC, but there isn't a Batman movie coming out yet. So
I know. It's fascinating. It's very sad. All right. That sounds awesome. All right. What I've been geeking about, as you two know, I am a huge productivity nerd. I spend way too much time reading articles and journaling about all the different ways that I could be better and faster and more. You were going to say something here?
Yeah, as a side note, our family has a family joke. So Cyrus uses a productivity program, and I use it as well, called Todoist. Mm-hmm. Anytime he mentions Todoist, everybody has to take a drink.
Whatever.
And our children, none of them are under, they're all under 21, so it's all like a drink of your milk, but... It's a drinking game in our house.
I could use some productivity help.
So Todoist is awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
It's amazing. We can share stuff. So it's a really nice way for me to say, hey, I need you to take the garbage out today without me texting him and then it gets lost or nagging him.
Nice.
I highly recommend it.
Okay. Highly recommend it. So my big thing I've been working on lately is trying to figure out how I can be better at picking up and going places. I have to drive kids around a lot.
Yeah.
I work from home, so a lot of things that I need to do are right then and there, but I have downtime, and I have things I need to do, and I try to keep going as fast as I can so things don't get backed up. There are videos on YouTube where individuals are essentially talking about what's in their bags, and then they empty out their bag, and they talk about their bag, and talk about all the things that go in it, and why they have it, and then they repack their bag. I can't get enough of this. So it's mobile productivity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching these in between meetings. It's like popcorn. It's fantastic to see how people are viewing their lives on the go in a way that allows them to take everything with them and still be very comfortable wherever they're at to do all these other activities. So I've been watching people who do photography, people who are artists, people who are in the IT world. So we had this whole idea for a while. I think it's still a thing, that nomadic people going around and working out of their BMWs and that type of deal. This is just taking that idea and pushing it. What does everyone do in any kind of given day? I can't stand things in my pocket. So it's really nice being able to have my bag with all the pieces that are in there and everything has a purpose. It's phenomenal. And I am a little embarrassed that I enjoy these so much. I've actually followed people. I never before have I gone and actually taken the time to thumb up YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Because it's just constant content. Yeah. I was like, well, that's fine, whatever. I'm actually going there and following people now and doing thumbs up and commenting. It's like, well, where'd you get that 3-ring binder? That's really nice. That's a really nice zippered wallet. Where can I find that?
So that's awesome, Si.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're so excited about it.
It's silly how excited I am. All right. So that is the
geeking out
things we did there. Now, let's talk about the geek topic du jour.
Which is our two-player games.
Two-player games.
We actually literally brought a bunch with us today because it's radio. So, of course, you guys can see what we're bringing with. Right. But that's okay. That's still super exciting.
Visual aids are always welcome.
Always appreciate.
Always welcome.
Let's talk a moment about really what makes a two-player game. Now, any game can have two players in it. That's not really what we're talking about. There are games out there that are specifically designed for two players. The reason why we're focusing on just two-player games instead of games that allow you to sit two players, two, four, six, is that a game is really only entertaining if it's well-balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And two-player games have been designed with the purposeful intent of allowing both people across the table to always have the same level of ability to win. No one has any particular advantage.
Yeah. One of the things we find, if you play a game that's up to four players or up to six players as a two-player game, sometimes it's unbalanced, or sometimes they have to kind of like, the game's really best with 3 to 5 players and they kind of shoehorn in a two-player option and it's not great. Mm-hmm. So we're purposely bringing games to the table here that are really good as two players. And we've played all of these. We own all of these. We vouch for them. They're all very, very good.
So we're just going to go through each one. We're just going to do a quick summary about why we like it, or how
what it's about.
What it's about. So first one up, a sports game.
All right.
So this one is called Icebreaker. It's the card hockey board game. Both people sit on one side of the table, and you are essentially playing hockey. But the way this works is that you have a standard deck of 52 cards, mm-hmm. and each one of the 52 cards, some of them have special abilities, but you play it out like poker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So you have, if you have a stronger hand than your opponent, you control the puck. Okay. And then based on what cards that you had in the hand, that determines how the puck moves up and down the ice. So it allows you to play standard card games, so it's a really good way to get people interested in another way of playing with cards, because everyone understands card games to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
While there is a poker element, you're not actually betting anything, but you are building better hands, so that also helps for anybody who wants to learn poker as well.
Hmm.
So it's really, really well done. Did you have any additional thoughts? I know you didn't care for this.
I didn't care for this game. But,
did not care for it.
Some of that was Cyrus. Well, Cyrus always jokes, and it's slightly true, that if we play a game together and I lose, then I don't like the game. Which isn't true. I have some games that I've lost and I do enjoy the game. This is not one of them.
That's not one of them. Yeah.
But it is a nice two-player option. It is a nice sports option. And I do like the way that they've kind of integrated the sports theme, but also using the cards and the way the puck moves around. So it's, I think it's a nice, well-balanced game, and it's a fun thing, especially if you are into hockey.
And it's licensed. It's licensed in NHL, so there you can play as your favorite team.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like hockey, and this seems to be endorsed by the NHL or licensed.
Yes.
That's enough for me. I'd be interested in playing it.
Fully.
Would you like to borrow it? You can take it home with you.
That's all right. No one in my house is going to play it with me. So.
All right, so let's move on to a game where you do consecutively whoop my butt.
What are we doing? Ooh, Duel. That's a good
Seven
one.
Seven Wonders Duel.
So Seven Wonders, Cyrus knows, but Rich, maybe you don't. Mm. Seven Wonders is a really good game. It's been out for quite a while. It was really popular for a while. So like Settlers of Catan, we've all heard of that. Mm. And then Seven Wonders was kind of part of the next wave.
It was the next wave. And what they brought to the table was something that we had not yet seen much in the hobby, which was card drafting.
Yeah, so it's a card drafting. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so a card drafting, you're given a hand, you choose, in this case, for regular Seven Wonders, you're given a hand of cards, you select one to keep, and you pass the next one on to the next guy.
Okay.
They choose one to keep, they pass one on to the next guy.
Gotcha.
And then,
it's
so
literally
you
a
build,
draft.
Yeah, you yeah. build a hand based on what's coming through,
okay.
and then you go through and you play it out. And one of the cool things about original Seven Wonders that translates really well to this one is that there's lots of different ways to win and lots of different avenues to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I may be doing something totally different or focusing on something totally different than Cyrus is or any of the other players that we're playing with. Seven Wonders, the original Seven Wonders, had a two-player version and it sucked.
Yeah, it was no good.
It was terrible.
They essentially hobbled you.
Yeah.
So they took everything that was really well done in the original Seven Wonders and said, let's dumb it down and make sure you can't have fun.
Or you had to play a dummy third
yeah,
person
you had to
or
play
something.
A dummy
it was
third
not
player.
Good.
It wasn't great.
Seven Wonders is an amazing game with three or more. And actually, it's best with a whole bunch of people. I think it's up to seven people or something. Mm-hmm. So they heard that the two-player version was really poor, and they made a specific two-player version of Seven Wonders called Seven Wonders Duel.
Awesome.
Yep. And so it plays exactly the same way as far as what the intent is to, because thematically speaking, as part of the narrative, is that you are in charge of a civilization and you're helping it move along. And so you have
ancient civilizations.
Ancient civilizations. And you have different routes, as you mentioned, to victory, military, culture, science.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those games that you do not need to understand what the original Seven Wonders is. And it can actually be quite an intimidating game for new players.
Yeah, it can.
Seven Wonders Duel, though, very simple rules, exquisite gameplay.
Yeah.
I have never played a game, so tight as this.
Awesome. There's,
fantastic. So check that out. Seven Wonders Duel.
And it has two expansions for it. So the original Seven Wonders Duel, really great game, really great base game. They also have a Pantheon expansion where you get the concept of bringing gods and goddesses into the play. So Seven Wonders Duel takes place in an ancient society, so like ancient Greece. And let's bring in the Pantheon.
Yeah, sure.
And so the gods and goddesses can favor you, and it kind of gives you some special abilities. And then they have a second expansion that brings the Senate into
play more politics.
Yeah, so there's more politics, and you can play all the original and both of the expansions all together.
Oh my god!
And so it's there's lots of different ways, or you could play just the original plus the Senate expansion. There's lots of different ways to play it. So kind of one of the things we love about this is that there's kind of endless playability. So every game is different. Every time around, and depending on which of the expansions or how you play, it's going to be a different game every time, which I love. I love stuff that's not like, okay, it's the same thing every single time. So I also do whip his butt every time we play this game.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I came to the table to play Candyland. Like, oh, we're not? Oh, I see. All right, next one, which you don't do well with.
I did okay.
You did okay with this. This is called The Duke. It is essentially a derivative of checkers or chess.
Chess,
really. In this game, and I should also mention, all the games that we're mentioning have won quite a few awards. They're very well thought of and respected in the hobby world. The Duke is very much like chess in the sense that you're moving pieces across a grid. Mm-hmm. But each piece has a very specific type of movement and a very special ability on the table.
So kind of like chess, but... unlike chess, there's special abilities, which of course the chess players don't, or the chess pieces don't generally have special abilities. And as you're playing the Duke, you actually, the movement changes every turn. So it's a little, like it's a little square. And so you move your guy the way he's supposed to, and then he gets flipped over, and then his movement pattern is different for the next turn. And then it gets flipped over again.
Wow.
So it keeps it. So it's not, it's a little more intricate than chess is. And if I remember correctly, there's, like special stuff that comes in the midst of the game that changes some things.
Yes.
Please tell me that there's like a multi-tiered board, so this would be like Vulcan chess.
Right? Oh, no, nothing like that. Okay. But this does have pieces that come in mid-game based on the different ways that you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the standard version of what you can do as far as just building it out. Everyone gets the same sort of pieces, and you do your very best. And then they have more complex, where you can actually even get to a point where I think you can draft your pieces, build out your army. Very well done. Again, one of these games that makes you think in multiple different directions, but very easy to just pick up, because what that piece can do is labeled right on the piece.
Literally on the piece.
It's right there.
Yeah, Mandy just showed me one. This one you can move north, south, and then you turn it over, you can move it left.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, there, and it's not just movement, too. There's some of them where you can, like, jump, and, or there's a bunch of different things you can do. It's not just sliding.
Capture as well as being immune to other hits.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun. More aggressive, certainly. Mm-hmm. But for those individuals looking for a different approach to chess or checkers, do check out the Duke.
Yep. So that's another good one.
All right. Moving on to something a little darker. Mr. Jack. Mr. Jack is a two-player game where one individual plays as the detective, or the police in this case, and the other one is Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm. So it takes place in Jack the Ripper time, London.
Yeah.
What is happening here, thematically speaking, is that we have cornered Jack. We know exactly where he's at.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, he's definitely in this area.
Okay.
Jack's character is invisible pretty much throughout the entire play.
He's very good at hiding.
The police officer has limited resources, but is able to block off certain avenues.
It's kind of
so Mr. Jack doesn't escape.
Off.
As well as using streetlights to illuminate what's happening. But Mr. Jack has the ability to take off some of the lights and other pieces. So the game is very much like cat and mouse. Look at all this noise you're making with all the pieces.
No, it's okay.
I'm trying to show him the board.
If you're going to have visual aids, a little sound is not a terrible idea.
See? So there's different, the board is really cool. So Jack can like come and go out of sewers. There's little sewer spots, and there's grates that are on the sewers sometimes, and there's different light posts, and it change the policeman can change which lights are on, which lights are off. So there's like this light's on, and then you can flip it over and, well, maybe it's the other way around, but so it's really interesting. And then you're trying to, the detective is narrowing down who Jack the Ripper is.
Yep, you have four possible, four individuals of interest that you think could possibly be Mr. Jack.
It turns out Jack the Ripper is Colonel Mustard in the parlor.
It's got a little bit of that element.
It's got a little bit of the Clue version in it, but it's very much a cat and mouse game. the detective, the police do something, and then the Jack the Ripper does something. And so you're watching what the other person is doing, and you really are trying to outsmart them and corner your opponent into doing, essentially, get themselves caught.
Yeah.
Or totally avoiding it. I really enjoyed the game.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it, too. And Jack wins if he's able to escape. Mm-hmm. And the person that's playing the policeman wins if they figure out who Jack the Ripper is.
Right.
Gotcha.
So, it's really good in kind of this back and forth. And it was more complicated than I was expecting.
Yes.
Like, it's a thinker. Like, you really have to kind of pay attention to what's going on over there. And this guy can move here, but that might be detrimental to what I'm trying to go for. And then Jack is, because I played the detective, I think, when we played it. So it was just really fun and like a good thinker.
Yeah, it's
not
an
one to play at the end of the week at 10 p.m. when you're exhausted.
No. What I really liked about it is it felt like an ever-shifting maze.
Yeah.
And you had to continually evaluate, like, where's my new exit? Okay, where's my new exit? And how do I move over there?
And it was another one, too, that was, it was one of these games that's different every time you play. Mm-hmm. And it depends on, so who do you want to play as this time? And we would go back and forth. So sometimes he's the policeman, sometimes I'm the policeman. And then depending on who Jack ends up being, and just the game's different every time, which is fun.
All right, let's move on to something a little more cutesy now.
Yes, very cute.
We came across this delightful game store in Red Wing. And we were looking at what they had there. This one is called Boop.
Boop.
And for those who can't see it, of course, it's has this adorable little cat. The playing board is a quilt for the cat.
You actually turn the box over.
Turn the box over.
And the cat is on the bed. The cats are on the bed.
Oh, so what this does is that it plays with the idea of cats jumping on the bed and moving the other cats around. And we have three cats, so I can guarantee this happens in real life all the time.
That's hilarious.
But they start out with kittens, which are very small, and then they get into big cats, which, being bigger, don't move.
The kittens can't move the big cats.
Can't move the big cats. And you have to take your pieces and put them on the board, moving out your opponents. So
and yourself, too.
And yourself. You can, quote-unquote, boop yourself off, in which case the piece comes right back to you. You don't lose it.
Okay.
But you're trying to get all of your kittens to be big cats.
Okay.
And that only happens when you have, I believe it's three kittens.
Three in a row.
And you have three in a row kittens. So you have to think in multiple directions at once, trying to figure out, if I put my kitten here, I'm going to boop this cat that way, but I can't move myself over. So you position your pieces in a way where you are creating essentially like blocks.
Yeah.
So I can't bop myself off.
It's a boop block.
It's a boot block. Yeah. It's a boot block. Exactly. Absolutely, it's a boot block. Really well done.
It's also a thinker. It's a very simple concept. You put a cat on the quilt. Mm-hmm. The cat moves the other cats.
Yeah.
But it's another one that you really have to take some time and think about, where am I going to put this piece? Because I want to move. I'm trying to go for this, but I don't want to move this guy, and I don't want to set Cyrus up to have three in a row. So it's really fun. Plus, it's adorable.
Yeah,
it's
adorable.
It's really cute.
Cute little pieces.
This is fun. All this stuff looks, I mean, I'm not a game player. This of course, I stopped playing games back when it was Parcheesi and Monopoly.
We got to have you over to our house.
Great.
Oh, dear.
All right.
They're like playing Tiddlywinks.
Yeah. So that's
a lot of fun. One of the reasons why I like this game so much, and some of the games that Mandy and I play, actually a lot of the games that Mandy and I play, you don't really see what the results are until much later on. There's a lot of setting things up, right? You'll try to figure out.
A lot of, not boop.
Not boop. Boop, you get immediate
feedback
on, I did this, what happens? So you very quickly start to learn essentially the physics of what's happening in the game to move these pieces. It was fantastic when we first got it. We broke it out. We both read the rules. We both understood what needed to happen. But until we actually got the little kittens on the quilt, the game board, and started to move them, then we both went, I see. I got it.
It's also a super fast setup, which I also really appreciate. And it's a 20-minute game, it says on the box here, which I also appreciate. I like having a game that we can sit down and play fairly quickly. And just like do a quick in between.
Yeah, I like the little tagline. It's a very quote unquote thinky game for two clever cats.
Which is 100%. That is a very accurate. And it's actually, it's a winner of Mensa Select.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, Like, it's a legit thinky game. Yeah. So, but also adorable because cats, you know? Yeah.
Very simple rules, very simple gameplay, but
very complex
when we start thinking about, okay, how to win. And that's what I really like about two-player games is that you want it to be easy to approach. You don't want a whole lot of additional rule sets. You don't want people to constantly look back at the rule. But you want it to be one of these things where you feel like, I spent a really good amount of time with this other individual. That was good. All right. One last game. And this is the one that you and I cannot get enough of. Introduce it, honey.
I don't know that it needs any introduction. So our favorite two-player game of all time, and one that we play at least a game a week, is Cribbage. Which I'm sure everyone out there is like, Cribbage, like, roll your eyes.
Really?
And it really, it's the same. Everybody in Minnesota, anyway, knows how to play Cribbage. Side note, we went to Colorado. Maybe we've told this story already. We went to Colorado this summer, and we have a Cribbage bag that has our custom Cribbage board in it. Yes, I know. It's all set up there. We have custom cards that I make on Shutterfly that have pictures of the kids, and... We have a game log. So we have a whole bag that has all of these things in it. And we brought it with us on our road trip out to Colorado this summer. And we make it a point, and every time we go to a new brewery, we play a Cribbage game so that we can record it in the book. And then it's also kind of a log of our travels. Mm-hmm. So we're there in Colorado. We were in the Denver area. We went to Breckenridge. We were up in Estes Park, Fort Collins, playing Cribbage all over the place. We got so many weird looks. Finally, someone came over and they're like, are you playing Cribbage? And we're like, yeah. And she goes, I'm from Minnesota. No one in Colorado plays Cribbage. Nobody knows.
And here
in Minnesota, you go to any bar, any brewery, there's Cribbage boards.
Not so
in Colorado. No. Apparently nobody knows how to play Cribbage or what it is even. That's why we were getting all these. I know, right?
What they were into is Skippo and Uno, which
yeah,
is
there was a lot of
those. Lot of Uno, yep. A lot of Skippo, yep. Which is, ugh.
But we love Cribbage. It's a great game to play with each other. The rules are simple once you know them.
Such a silly thing to say. It's easy once you got it.
Well, you have to play enough games or have a good teacher. But it's a different game every time. It's mathy, so it's Cyrus and I are exceptionally good at math as long as it's 31 or under.
Yeah.
We're really good at adding up to 31. And beyond that we're no good at all. So,
and what I appreciate just from a gamer geek kind of perspective is that every hand is three phases. Mm-hmm. So you everyone gets dealt the same number of cards. You look at your cards and you have to figure out, all right, what cards am I giving up if you don't necessarily have those cards? Because in the game, I forgot, whoever gets the additional hand.
Crib.
The crib, thank you. Whoever gets the additional hand, the crib, gets two cards that they get to choose and then two cards that the opponent has to give them. Mm-hmm. Then you play out your hand with your cards and then you score points off what you play.
It's called
pegging. Then you take all your cards back, except the ones that you put in the crib, and you score another round with additional It's like a...
Yeah, you're looking for runs, 15s, pairs, runs,
that. Flushes. And then the taking turns, one person gets the crib, they take those four cards.
So they essentially get an extra hand.
They get an extra hand, and they do that. Really, one of these games, no matter how many times I play, I'm always learning something new. It's humbled the heck out of me, I'll tell you that right now. So we do, as you alluded to, we keep track of every single game we have ever played.
That's awesome.
Yep. And who wins.
Yep, where we played, who won.
Please tell me you played Cribbage on like your first date.
No, oh, it wasn't our first date. We did not play Cribbage on our first date. But so Cyrus and I have been together since end of May of 2020 because... Finding a new relationship in the middle of COVID was a stellar idea.
Yeah, man, that's
good time.
Amazing.
Good time.
And we have records going back from July of 2020.
Okay.
So
it's fantastic. We're just, but at any rate, where I was getting with all this is that if you go back and you start counting who wins, I show up a little light.
So our total we're about halfway through a page right now. So as of the end of the last page, we've played 336 games together. I have won 208 of them, and Cyrus has won 128 of them.
Wow. I'm getting better.
But it's really funny. Cyrus's mom taught him how to play, right?
Yes.
I learned how to play off of a poorly translated instruction book that came with like a some sort of game thing that I my ex-husband and I were camping and it was really rainy, and so we decided we're going to teach ourselves how to play cribbage off of this poorly translated thing. Legit, that was crazy. So we both kind of came to it in a different way, but as we've played together, we've both kind of figured out strategy and how to do it well, how to play well. And Cyrus has learned enough from me and me from him, but Cyrus in particular, that he beats his mom all the time now.
Really?
And she doesn't like it.
Really irritates her.
That's awesome.
Because she taught him how to play. And so it's, but we love it. And Cyrus and I play kind cribbage, where like we count each other's hands. So like I'll count my own hand, but Cy double checks it and vice versa. And we help each other find points. And that's how you learn. That's how you learn how to be a better player.
But if you're playing with the other person, you don't want to crush their spirit.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't competitive cribbage. So, but that is far and away our favorite two-player game. And the board and the book, it'll be books by that time. Whenever we die,
this is
getting buried with us.
That's awesome.
Whoever has the honor of dying last.
Yeah, gets to keep the cribbage board and the cribbage book. So
I have two observations to make.
Yes.
First of all, when you pulled it out, my first thought was, why does Cyrus have my shaving kit?
Yes.
That's my shaving kit. That's the same exact one I have. That's
really
funny. Nice. Okay. Second is, I haven't played cribbage. It will be in May. It will be 31 years, and I know this exactly. Because the last time I played cribbage, the only time I ever really played cribbage, was with my father-in-law on a fishing trip that we took. And he taught me how to play, and he beat me every single... I've never won a game of cribbage.
Aww.
And I haven't played in 31 years. And now I don't really remember how to play, so one of you guys...
We'll teach you.
Not you, Cyrus. Mandy.
And we're teaching our daughters how to. The boys don't have much interest in
it. No, but they're also playing games that you sit down and you play for 3 to 4 hours. I mean, those are the games that they enjoy.
But we're teaching the girls how to play. And it's actually a really good game to teach kids because it's really good math.
Okay.
It's a really good way to get really fast at how many, so I'm putting down a card and then the opponent puts down a card. Well, and then you have to add those two up. Mm-hmm. What is that? Mm-hmm. What does that equal? And then you're trying to get to 15 or 31. So it's a really good, it's actually a good elementary school or middle school game because it's really quick math. Mm-hmm. And you have to look for patterns and you have to try to look at the hand of 6 cards and decide which ones do I want to keep and not, which means you have to understand, like, what do all these cards do together? What do we try to...
Yeah.
So we're teaching the girls how to play, and they'll play with each other, and it's really, really funny.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And just a nice little callback here when I was talking about mobile productivity with bags. Let's look what else is in here.
Okay,
in our bag
toothbrush.
No, there's not for this one.
So we have a cribbage board.
Custom cribbage board that we had made here in town.
That's right, and that's how you keep track of the points.
Yep.
We have a deck of cards in there.
That has pictures of our family on it.
A log book to keep track of all the points.
Yep.
And dig in... Coasters.
Coasters.
Yes, so these are, we got married at the St. James Hotel in Red Wing.
Oh, in Red Wing.
And
yeah,
we went back around our first anniversary, and we told them it was our first anniversary. And they gave us these leather coasters that have St. James Hotel on them as part of like a little gift in our room. And so they are our cribbage bag. Because it's not all breweries have coasters, and I don't like having water. You don't want water on the table when you're playing a card game. So this will soak all that up. So these are our coasters, which almost got lost when we were in San Diego.
San Diego. Had to walk all the way back for that.
Yep. What else do we have in there, Sam?
We also have utensils, because there's a lot of food trucks.
Yeah.
Then we go to.
Wow.
And we don't like using plastic silverware.
We don't like plastic.
And you guys are on this.
Yeah.
And the utensil kit has a fork and a spoon and chopsticks in it.
Chopsticks.
It used to have a knife, but we accidentally brought it on an airplane and the knife wasn't allowed to. Yeah.
Turns out butter knives are considered dangerous weapons. They will spread you to death. And then a pen and everything. So there you go.
A pen, yeah, so we can record what's in the book. So
that's phenomenal.
You know, 2-player games, folks. I'm sure you have your favorites as well. Those that you play with your kids, those you play with friends and family. Check
spouses,
out those
husbands, wives.
Check out
partners.
Those that we mentioned and let us know which ones you play, because we always want to learn about new ones as well.
Yeah. It's time for our sponsor break.
Let's take a break. We'll be right
time
back.
Time for break.
We are now joined by the proprietor of the Geeking Out sponsor, Content Books. Hello, Jessica Peterson-White.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. How's winter going so far?
You know, it's winter. Yes. It's February. Yes. We're deep in February. It's really cold today. It's going to be really cold tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't know if it'll be really cold on the day you air this, but I think there's a good chance of that.
Very good chance. It was very cold today, mm-hmm. too, on yeah. Monday. Yes. Yeah.
It's the kind of cold where, like, you get it in your bones and then you, like, don't get warm for until you've had a hot drink.
Exactly. Or, like, some really good soup.
Yes,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You need your soul to be warmed, exactly. not just your fingers.
So speaking of warming souls,
yeah,
what can content do for us in that capacity?
We specialize in warming souls at Content Bookstore. Thanks for asking. Yeah. I love this framework. We've got some fun new things going on in the store right now. We have some gorgeous new jigsaw puzzles that just came in that I'm really excited about that are really colorful and will definitely brighten up your February.
Nice.
We have some fun new tabletop games, a few new favorites that we have been playing a lot.
What's one that you really, because Cy and Mandy are all about.
Yeah, they're all about games. So one of my current favorites is called Tiny Laser Heist.
Okay.
My teenage daughter played it with her friends and cousins, and the first time they played it, I like could not figure out what was going on in the basement because there was like a level of hysterical laughter that I have not witnessed from that crew for a long time.
That's fantastic.
But in Tiny Laser Heist, you have like a three-dimensional board and everybody has different like capabilities, right? But it's like a laser jewel heist where you're trying to steal things, but you have tiny plastic hands that you're trying to do that with. And then each player has like different handicaps kind of. Okay. And it is so, so funny. And actually it's not just funny. It also involves like just the right level of strategy for February,
nice.
I would say. And
nice.
It's, I guarantee you will laugh playing it. So that's a really fun one. I'm also really into this game called Trio lately. Mm-hmm. That is a sort of on the surface, it looks like a really simple card game. That's kind of a mix of Go Fish and Memory, but it ends up being like has a little element of like trying to read other people's tells, like in poker, and trying to remember what other people have seen and shown in order to get the right collection of cards. So it's like it's really challenging in a really fun way, but it's also quick to learn and quick to play. So
that
very
sounds
satisfying.
Great. Yeah, sounds awesome. All right. Available at Content.
Available at Content. Yeah. The other thing I did for a pick me up this last week was we have a lot of new stationery coming in the store, some gorgeous new notebooks and pens and boxed cards and things like that. And I celebrated that by setting up a pen bar in front of the store.
Nice.
So if a new pen sounds like the right pick me up for anyone out there, we have some pretty ones. We've got some silly ones with capybaras on the top, and they're all beautifully arrayed right in front of the store where you can pick up one to match your notebook.
And for those of you who have never considered it, you will be amazed at how much a new pen can just brighten your day.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's just the right pick me up sometimes.
Yeah. It's fantastic, right?
Totally.
What else going on? Anything?
Well, so I wanted to let people know that they should watch their mailboxes because our spring toy catalog will be landing like late February, early March. We send out a toy catalog. Last year we did 3 catalogs. Mm-hmm. This year we're going to be doing 4. We'll do a spring, summer, fall, and then a holiday toy catalog.
Nice.
That goes to everyone on our mailing list. If we have your mailing address, we will send you one in the mail. And unless you've told us not to, and then I promise we won't. But if we have your mailing address, we'll send you a catalog. It's gorgeous. It really gives kids like the old fashioned pleasure that I remember of like flipping through the toy section in the Sears catalog and circling all the things I wanted with a Sharpie.
Those were great.
I know.
those were great days.
And you know what? That is just as fun for kids now, if not more so, because they're so, you know, like doing things on paper is kind of novel, right?
Yeah.
So it's really fun to get that toy catalog. It's got some super cool, new, fresh, exciting toys for kids of all ages, from like babies on up to teenagers in it. So keep your eyes on your mailbox and don't recycle that catalog because it's got a really great coupon in it.
Ooh.
That is good through Easter. So you can use it on some Easter gifts if you want to. It's good on anything in the store, not just toys. So if you want to use that coupon to buy a copy of the Iliad, you can do that. And if you are not on our mailing list and you don't get the catalog, stop in the shop, give us your mailing address, and we'll be happy to give you a catalog and make sure you get the next one in the mail.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. And that's something that I'm not sure that people think about right off the top of their head when they think about content.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, you guys are I want to say kick ass, and I probably can't say that in a commercial. I'm just going to say it because I'm the owner. Yeah. You're a kick-ass toy store.
We are a kick-ass toy store. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I like to think that we are. We've got all kinds of things that you won't find anywhere else. We've got toys for kids, like I said, from babies on up to teenagers and everybody in between. And also, we have great stuff for kidults. I feel like this podcast is like a good home for kidults.
It is indeed.
I definitely consider myself a kidult. I think we all have, everybody needs to play, including grownups. And we try to, warm the soul with play and for everyone.
Boy, do you do a good job of it. Absolutely. Where's content located?
We're at 314 Division Street, right in the heart of downtown Northfield.
What's the phone number?
It is 507-222-9238.
What's your website?
It's www.contentbookstore.com. And our website lists our live inventory and a gazillion things that you can special order. Okay. It's super easy to place an order online for in-store pickup, or we ship at very reasonable rates.
Are you guys on social media?
We are. Okay. Yeah, we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, if you still have TikTok.
It's kind of up in the air right now.
It is, yeah. It's nobody's quite sure.
Yeah, okay. All right. Jessica, thanks a ton.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Welcome back. All right, so the next part we're going to do is we're going to look at the mailbag. I get quite a few mail from that other little side project I have with Father Geek. People are starting to learn about our little project here.
Fathergeek.com?
Father Geek, thanks for the plug, baby.
Welcome. Mm.
So we have a mailbag where they're always writing in. Always, I should say always. They have folks who write in and ask questions based off the general interest of hobbies and engaging with the kids and the family. So this one comes in. I thought of you, my man, when I this came up. So, dear Father Geek and friends, I have a question about how to help my kids really get into comic books. I have a lot of them, a huge collection that my wife is not happy with, but came with me when we got married. And I don't mind reading them to my kids if I am the only one holding them, but I start to get really sweaty and nervous when they want to touch them. Yes, I am one of those individuals who keeps everything in the original packaging and uses gloves when handling my collectibles. This resonates with you? It's like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But I hate that my anxiety and the obsessive need to keep everything pristine is stopping me from sharing my love of the hobby. Can you help? Todd in Wyoming.
And you're looking at me. So,
I'm looking at you.
I'm out of this conversation. I've never read a comic book in my life.
I'll say this, I started collecting Star Wars characters when the new Star Wars came out again. They started re-releasing all of them. And I had them as a kid, and I played them all the time. But as a kid, you play with them. Goodness gracious.
My dog chewed all mine up.
Exactly. Yeah, kills me that I had at one time the original Darth Vader with the vinyl cape and all that. That is worth hundreds of dollars.
God, I can't even have this conversation.
And it's bitter, bittersweet. When I first bought them, I kept them in the packaging, and then I put the packaging on my wall. It looked really neat. Well, all of my kids started getting really interested in that, and then eventually how it worked is that, Daddy, can I see it? Like, yes, from where you're at. Daddy, can I hold it? Sure, here you go. It's in the packaging, and then I kind of stay over it. And it dawned on me, why am I doing this? From the perspective, I want my kids to be super interested in Star Wars, and they just want to play. So I opened one up, and we sat down. We started playing it. I never looked back.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. But unfortunately, there's no way to keep them in the original package. Nope.
This resonates with me on a lot of different levels. Have I shared with you guys my deepest regret in life? And it's a tragic comic story.
I think you have,
story.
But remind us.
I sold my comic book collection, was extensive and beautiful and amazing. To buy a birthday present for my girlfriend at the time, who was not my wife. Like we broke up, and then I met Annie, and I was a stupid college kid. And the thing that I regret the most about it is that my daughters would have loved my comic books. They would have, both my girls, I know they would have loved them. Mm-hmm. And it's, anyway, Todd, hang on to your comics. All of you, hang on to your comics. All right.
Okay. Well, keep in mind that these came with Todd.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
He
well,
should
thank
keep
God.
Them.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah it's Todd the comics. They're a package deal. Yeah, they're a package
deal. Just like
thing.
Cyrus
yeah.
and the board games were a package, yeah, exactly. package deal.
All right. You
actually had an idea on this.
I have a couple of suggestions.
Yeah,
my first one is you've got probably, Todd, you've probably got an iPad. If you don't, go get one because it's a couple $100. And,
right.
And then get yourself a subscription to Marvel Unlimited, which is the online Marvel website, basically. And it's a database of not all of the Marvel comics that have been published over the years, but a solid 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And so go get that. Go through some of the stuff that you love with your kids and then hand them the iPad and let them go.
Yeah, go nuts with it.
Right? You know, right?
Peanut butter on their hands.
Oh, absolutely.
Please, not on an
like
iPad.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
No. Just go ahead and clean the screen.
You're so fine. I have a question. Is that available in Kindle as well? So if the child has a Kindle. No, it's
not that I know of. I mean, it really. And the reason you want an iPad is comic books are, you know,
color.
Very visual.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and you want to be able to, like with Marvel Unlimited, you've got this ability on an iPad to isolate each panel.
Oh, that is important. So you can get more of the details.
And it's really cool that way.
That is nice.
So, yeah.
There's this little trend of comic book panels out of context. Have you seen these?
Oh. You send me those all the time.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
That is a really good idea. I have one additional suggestion. The comic book industry has every year what is referred to as Free Comic Book Day.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's in May every year. Find out where your local comic book store is at. Give them a call. See if they participate. If they do, you're in luck, my friend. They will give out, goodness, what will we bring home, like 20?
Too many
comic books from this. And the really nice part about this is that they're comic books in every way, shape, or form. Mm. So they're paper. They're going to look just like yours, Todd.
Yep.
So the kids won't like, oh, I got something different than Daddy. Like, nope, they have exactly the same thing you do. They are specifically designed to be an introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also a bit of a teaser. Like, they want you to be becoming more interested in the hobby. But they have, in the last 3 or 4 years, focused on also providing just comic books for kids, for younger readers. Mm-hmm. Beforehand, they were doing all the other comic books. And comic books, like any other book that you find in the library, there's a lot of different topics. And you know, some of them are probably a little bit more adult than you feel comfortable sitting down with a five-year-old and say, let me explain to you why this person's head's exploding. No, it's not a conversation you want before bedtime. So they have purposely taken comic books that they think are really going to be interesting to new readers. Absolutely go enjoy that event. Normally there's some additional deals because they want you to also buy a few things there too. Yeah. But free comics.
Yep.
And it's every year. And it's, go ahead, they're free, rip them up.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I know we usually go up to the Source in the cities to go and do that. The Source definitely does. And it's a huge event. Like, there's a line. People are all dressed up. Mm-hmm. They've got, like, characters walking around. Right. And then the Source is just a really fun place to check out because it's lots and lots. Have you ever been to the Source?
No.
You need to go.
Okay.
Lots of – so board games. There's a bunch of board games, which is – we love. But there's tons and tons and tons of – comic books and miniatures and all. They have a like a gaming section. They have a lot of magic cards,
all sorts of games, everything,
all sorts of fun stuff. So
the other thing I'll say to Todd, and actually sort of playing off what you were talking about, Cyrus, get your kids their own comic books for sure. And if this whole thing takes, right, then you get to work with them a little bit and you start to talk about, okay, this is how you take care of, expecting a 12-year-old to put on gloves to read their comic books is a little too much, I think. But when you start talking about, you want to take care of it because, you know, you, yes, it's an investment, but you love the stories so much, and this is really cool stuff. So you're going to want to come back and read this later, and you want it to be in good shape. So work with the kid as it sort of as the
a teaching tool,
exactly as they grow too.
Yeah, and on that point, so if Todd, if you have a tub, you probably do. You know you do.
Like a bathtub or like a.
Nah, I'm talking about like the things you get like Costco or Menards, the storage kind of tubs.
Yeah, storage okay. tubs.
Storage
yeah.
tubs, right? And I know you do, Todd, especially the way that you talk about your comic books. I wouldn't be surprised if buying some sort of door that scans your iris before it lets you in, you know, that kind of thing.
Duplicate. I have a friend who actually almost has that.
So. Oh, that's actually a lot
he's
of fun.
He's got a secret room in his basement. Yeah, anyway.
Does his wife know about this secret room? Or?
I can't say.
I understand. Duplicate as much as you can how you organize and maintain and work with your hobby. I did that with board games because I was getting super sick and tired of the kids opening up the game pieces, finding game pieces all over the place, not being nice to them. I was like, nope, here's your little shelf. These are all your games. Keep them organized. Have them get involved to a point where not only are they excited about the hobby, but now they're making the hobby something that they are actively engaging, even just from an organizational standpoint. You're going to teach them.
It's theirs.
Yeah, it's so, theirs.
So what you're saying is systematize things to enhance productivity.
Nice callback. There's a great deal of joy that I've always felt when I get to share things with my kids, with my family, and even more so when I don't have to pick up after them. Mm. So it's having that option. Now you get to mimic what daddy's doing, and then you get a whole new level of entertainment with the kids. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds really good. All right. Excellent.
All right, so I think we have, I'm going to run over. I'm going to go get Tom.
Actually, Cy, I'm so sorry. We're out of time again. Poor
no, no, no,
Tom.
No.
I know.
You saw the four boxes.
I know.
It's my fault. I spent too much time talking about Todd and his...
No, it's all good. I'm sorry, but we will definitely have Tom on next month.
This is starting to get expensive. Every time Tom comes on in the episode, sorry, we've ran out of time. I have to go buy him a coffee, or it's going to start escalating here.
I'm so sorry, love. We're out of time. We have to go. We're to our time frame, but I'm sure we will have him on next month. He will have something else amazing to share with us. I'm sorry.
Whatever. It's fine.
Let's talk about our side quest. What do we want our listeners to... take your 30 seconds. Oh, don't actually take 30 seconds.
Tom's getting mouthy with me, too.
Oh.
All right. Side quest time. What is the side quest? So the side quest is what we ask you folks to consider doing until you hear from us next month. We'd like to give you a little fun challenge, something of interest... that always goes in line with what we're talking about today, but it gives you the option to go ahead and hopefully get outside of your comfort zone just a little bit, go do something new, or get to share something with a new friend, in which case that's what this one is. Our side quest is that we want you to share a hobby with a friend, family member, or partner, or the guy who just keeps saying hi that you don't really remember who they are. You know what I'm talking about, right? The guy who keeps saying hi and they seem to know a lot more about you than you remember about them, and you're just too embarrassed to say, I don't remember you. Mm. So that's why I call a lot of people bud or buddy.
Yes, you do.
Mm. Hey, buddy, how are you? And that's basically me saying, I recognize you.
Yep.
But go out, find something that you really enjoy, and then share it. As perfect example with Todd wanting to share his love of comic books with the kids. How do you go about doing that? Just start. Do that. Share a hobby. The hobbies can be anything, cooking, reading. That's one of the things I love about readers, how they share their hobby. I have a book to recommend. Mm-hmm. Here, take this book. If you're a gamer, go find a game that you like, whether it's video games or board games. You like puzzles, sit down with them. And not only that, but go out and find your local stores, too, that sell their hobbies. Odds are very good they will have some new ideas for you. Take your friend, have a little lunch, and then do that. I think that sounds like a great...
Sounds like a great side quest.
Great side quest.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So, next month, episode on Geeking Out, we look forward to joining us where we will be talking about cabin fever and how we avoid it.
Yes. Also known as outdoor hobbies. For March.
In Minnesota, we actually look forward to the wintertime. Right? Everyone owns two coats. You get your winter coat, and then you got your big coat. As you get out the big coat.
But usually by March, we're, I know I am like, okay, I'm ready to be done. I'm ready. This winter is dragging on. Yep. And so we thought talking about what can you do to get out and really embrace the wintertime.
Right. Like so next episode, we are going to be talking about hobbies and fun activities outside without getting frostbite. And hopefully not getting into a bear or something like that.
Or injuring yourself.
But hey, that could happen too. So that's always fun.
It's wintertime. You're not going to see any bears.
Good point.
They're hibernating.
Good point.
Probably too. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. We hope that you enjoy geeking out. We certainly do. It's always amazing to us that we have this ability to just talk about the things that we love. We want to hear from you too. Please reach out to us. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. And we'll see you next time. Until then, I'm Cyrus.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Rich.
Thanks for geeking out, folks.